Welcome back to Jesus Speaks Farsi. We're glad you're here. We're excited to be back sharing the stories of our Iranian friends with you again. Our friend Magda spent some time with Jennifer and I recently and shared her story of growing up in Iran in a Christian family, as well as the challenges she faced 2 decades ago as a young wife and mother unexpectedly married to a Muslim man. From all the stories that we've shared on this podcast, we know that persecution is a very real threat for Christians inside Iran, but we can mistakenly think that that only means the threat of prison and arrest. Today, we'll hear how Magda, who's never been arrested or been in prison for her faith, had a life-changing experience with persecution, ultimately leading her to make an unimaginably heartbreaking decision. I think this conversation will challenge and encourage you as you consider what faithfulness looked like for Magda and what it might look like in your own life. One note, this episode does touch on domestic abuse, as well as detailing a difficult decision involving a child, so you may want to listen without children nearby. Let's get started. Welcome back to Jesus Speaks Farsi. We're here with Magda, and Jennifer and I are, and we're excited to chat with you. Thanks for being with us, Magda.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
It's
good to see you. So just to kind of let our listeners know, we, Jennifer and I are in the States and Magda is in the UK. So we are talking across the ocean. So that's just to kind of give you a heads up on that. If there are any weird little, you know, glitches in the audio. But well, Magda, we just were hoping that you would be willing to share your story with us of your life in Iran, and then also just your relationship with the Lord, how you came to know Jesus, and just, yeah, give us a little bit of your backstory, if you would.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I was born and raised in Iran in a very religious city called Mashhad. Mashhad is in the northeast of Iran near the border of Afghanistan. So, and yeah, I just, I was raising up in that kind of, you know, situation, very religious, very famous and big shrine. Islamic shrine is like in Mashhad, and because of that shrine, Mashhad is very famous in Iran and even other places. So yeah, my family were Christian, and you know, I actually, as I said, I was growing up in a Christian family. My father was pastor of evangelical church in Tehran, the capital of Iran. And then we moved because of the war between Iran and Iraq. Our family moved to Mashhad, and we stayed there. So,
what year was that you moved?
War between Iran and Iraq.
Well, also, I wanted you to maybe share a little bit more about how was it that your family were evangelical Christians inside Iran at that time?
Yeah, I was thinking of those days, we were so alone, and because of the persecution and lots of pressure on Christian people, fellowship, you know, and I could feel it, you know, even now I can feel that moment, how we, you know, it was very precious for us to be with each other as a family, Book of Acts. That was my experience of those days. And the other things was, you know, my family from childhood, they discipled us. You know, my father was pastor of the church. My mother was woman of God. And both of them, we were like 5 brothers and sisters. And they, you know, they were teaching us, and, you know, they were discipling us. Although we didn't have any resources, you know, their faith and their experience and Bible, you know, we didn't have any resources. But, you know, these things, you know, affected very much our faith. Yeah, that was my experience of, my childhood and, you know, when I was younger, you know, teenager.
Okay. I hope I didn't miss this, but did you share how your family became believers?
Oh, yeah, I remember my father said, when he was so young, there were a church in our city, Mashhad, And he become like friend of that member of the church, that church. Mm-hmm. And they invited him to go to that church. And he went there and he gave his heart to the Lord. And, you know, and then he met my mom and they married in the church.
Okay. Yes. And your mom was already...
Later on, okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah, later on. My mom came to the Lord by my father.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really incredible because I don't feel like we hear that story. We don't hear that very often when we chat with people on the podcast that they were already believers or they grew up in a Christian home in Iran. So what did it look like just as you got older, and did you go to university, and what were kind of your plans as you were getting older?
Yeah. So when I was like 11, 10, my father was a very good painter. And then he painted cross and Jesus on cross, and I really loved that that picture. And one day I remember I went to that picture and said, "I really love you, Jesus, and want you to submit and dedicate myself and my life to you." And this is that was like a first point and my highlight of my faith when I was a child. And then after, I was growing, I decided to follow Jesus even when I went to the university. So people could understand, I'm very different from them. I'm not like them. So that religious city, that it was forbidden for all minority, not just Christian, but for Christian, it was more pressure to speak about their faith. Mm-hmm. I had a moment, everybody were asking me why you are so different. And I was saying, okay, because maybe I'm Christian. It makes sense for you. And then they say, oh, yes, now we can understand why you are different. Because Christian people, they had a very good reputation between, people. And people were saying, oh, Christian people are very honest. They were like, they are not lying and they are very good people. So, exactly. So,
What were you studying at university?
I was studying education management. Yeah, I had degree. I got degree of education management. Yeah, BA.
You'd be a teacher. Was that your plan?
Yes.
To
teach? Yeah.
Did you go into teaching?
No, because I was Christian and they didn't give me any job. But in the university, my life completely was changed because I met a guy in a university when I was graduating. This man came to me and said to me, "I know you are Christian. I know you are from Christian family. And I love Jesus, and I really want to know who is it, because we Muslim people, we love Jesus. He is one of our prophets, and I want to know who is Jesus." And, you cannot imagine how I was excited, because I was thinking, in this situation, at least I can share, about mm-hmm. my Christian faith. So I introduced him to my father, my family, and then even we started to go to the Christian seminars and Christian conferences that it was based in Tehran. So mm-hmm. we were going with each other. And then after 3 months, I was so young, and he said to me, "I love you and I love Jesus." And I was thinking, in that age, this is a plan of God for me. So, and we married, we become engaged, and after 3 months we married.
How old were you, Magda?
At that time I was like nine. When I arrived in university, I was early 18.
Oh,
I
wow. Was early, okay.
Yeah, 18.
You were quite young.
Yeah. After graduate of high school, I jumped to the university. In Iran, it's like that. We don't have college or pre-university things. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, and yeah, we married, and then I realized after our marriage, I realized all of the things that he told me, and everything was, you know, it was a big lie. Even he didn't let me to go to see my family. I was so active. I was so active, you know, person in the church, in worship band, you know, you cannot imagine how I was so active in, you know. So he said to me, it's forbidden. You shouldn't go anywhere. I was like isolated at home. Mm-hmm. So, and in that situation, I had a lots of question about, you know, God. And even, you know, I didn't vow about my faith, but I was so sad and upset. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if you had that experiences or not. Sometimes, you know, as a Christian, we can, you know, we are upset even from God, you know, and bring mm-hmm. so many questions.
Sure.
Why it's like that? Yeah. Yeah. So I was like that.
He just completely flipped when you got married, like everything that he had told you leading up to your marriage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Changed. He changed because he told me he wants. I said one day, I say, why you married me? Why you, if you don't like, you know, if you didn't like, you know, my Christian faith or why you married me? And you say to me, you love Jesus. And he said, because I was thinking and I decided to say that to bring you to Islam, you know, to marry you.
So he really wasn't a Christian.
Yeah, never. Okay. And then at the other reason said, okay, you were like a beautiful girl and, you know, from a good family. I say, okay, this is a good also opportunity for me. Yeah.
Did you feel like you could, or did you sense that that was an opportunity to, well, I don't know, I was going to say to share the gospel or to witness with to him, or did you sense that was sort of your purpose in that, or had that already kind of happened because I would imagine you'd been talking about your faith over the last 3 months that you were engaged. So what did your relationship look like after that?
You know, I was like, you know, he was always saying me, you are unclean. Unclean is a word that Muslim people, you know, calls other religions, you know, they say unclean. In Farsi or in Farsi, we say this, you know, najis means unclean. You feel when they say this to you, you feel you are dirty. You are nothing, you know, it's a very, very nasty word about, you know,
Okay. So there's not that, so your relationship was very, there was no love there, I guess, after that.
I had kind of, you know, we had always arguments and he was threatening me. He was like always threatening me that he's going to go to the secret police and say about our, you know, because my father, we had like a home church or underground churches in our house, cell groups. And he was always, and he knew because he was coming with me before marriage. And he was telling always to me, if I'm going to go to the, you know, government and secret police and tell about these things to them. And I was always afraid for other people, for my family. And I was so isolated. Yeah, I lost my confidence.
True.
And yeah. And at that time, you know, I was so alone. I started to pray to God that God, you know, give me a child, you know. I was praying for having a child when I was talking with my ex-husband, he was always telling me, you are unclean. I don't want to have a baby from you. But because I think I was so young and I really wanted to be a mother. Mm-hmm. So, and I was praying, continue to pray that mm-hmm. God give me a child. And praise the Lord, God heard my prayer. Mm-hmm. And I felt I'm pregnant, expected. Mm-hmm. So, and you cannot but imagine from when the moment he knew I am pregnant, he started to make a plan and always was telling me during my pregnancy, because you are unclean, I never let you feed that baby, and mm-hmm. I will take her or him away from you. Mm-hmm. And when my child was in my womb, I was praying and I knew my time with my baby gonna be very limited. I knew that something was telling me, and I didn't know how and when and how much, you know. That was my question and my struggling and my challenges. Mm-hmm. When my child came, when she born, I just I have a very, very beautiful daughter. Her name is Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
But when she came, she born, when my daughter was 4 and a half, I just make it very little summary. Mm-hmm. And one day he left us, and without any money, without any job, nothing. Mm-hmm. He threw me out and took away my baby. And he was 4 months. She was 4 months.
She was 4 months. Okay.
Yeah, and she was very, very dependent on me because I was feeding her. Mm-hmm. So, and because that happened because my ex-husband find a very small Bible that mm-hmm. I just wrote something, a poem for my daughter. I was hiding in her somewhere in her little bed, mm-hmm. and he found it. And because of that, he threw me out, kicked me out, and took away my baby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my family, and I had to, and he bit me very, very bad. I had bruise and, you know, my teeth broke, and mm-hmm. I had to go back to my family, and I just asked them to go and for with all of their, you know, everything, they just make him satisfied to bring my daughter. And they mm-hmm. went after few hours, talk and, you know, discussing and, you know, so many things. They could take my baby and brought it to me. And after that, you know, I stayed with my family and he left us. Sometimes he was coming and see my daughter, but, you know, I was without money and I couldn't find a job mm-hmm. because in Iran, women that don't have any right, if you are married, your husband has to give you permission for finding mm-hmm. a job. Or if you are not, your father has to give permission. So, and my family were supporting me during 2.5 years.
How did you find your strength through all that, Magda?
My family support and my other believers, you know, community Christian, we had very small community, Christian community fellowship. And mm-hmm. all of them, they were praying, they were bringing some gifts, you know, some little things, you know. And my mm-hmm. family, my brothers and sisters, you know, they were very much, you know, were involved and engaged with the pain, you know.
Yeah. So did you feel like you would, or did you just think you would just live with your parents and raise your daughter just by yourself or with them?
Yeah, because, but during that 2.5 years that I was staying with my family, I was, because always he was sending me, or he was coming and shouting and, you know, shouting on me and my family, and he was sending us like threatening messages that he comes and he took the baby away. And because of, you know, Islamic law, Islamic law was behind of him, you know, and, you know, was supporting him. So, you know, I couldn't even, you know, I didn't have even any word or any support because of, you know, these kind of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what was the next step? Mm-hmm. So you had no legal, like, recourse in that? Was that not?
No, nothing. Okay. But in our house, we had a very big, big family house. I had a very little heaven. So the atmosphere, the love, the worship, fellowship we had, it was my heaven. And my daughter, I was thinking, okay, I have this opportunity. You know, I don't know when he comes and take my child away. But I just decided from this limitation, I have to do my best. And I was talking about Jesus, and I was sharing the story of Bibles and sharing to my little daughter. And I was thinking at that time, I'm putting a little seed. I'm planting. I was telling to myself, Magda, you are planting little seed in his little heart, in her little heart. So that was my pleasure. That was my honor. And that was my heaven. And we had a very good time. But, you know, that moment that I really afraid of happened. One day, sometimes he was coming to see my baby, and for a few minutes or 1 hour, 2 hours. One day he came and said, I want to see my daughter. And something, you know, happened. I don't know if you feel or you had that experience. Something, you know, I could feel in my heart. And it was like, you know, my heart was beating. So I said, when you bring her back? And he said to me, don't worry, I bring her back. Until midnight, he didn't bring her back. And so I decided to go to their house and see and find him and see, where is my baby and why you didn't bring her back? And when I went, he showed me a verdict from the Islamic court.
A verdict.
Yes, and the content of that paper was, the court divorced me and took my baby away, and it was although my daughter was 2.5, and it was against of you know, constitutional law in Iran. Because women can, divorced women can have their children till the age of 6 or 7. I don't know exactly. Okay. Yeah, this age. But it was a court against of the constitutional law in Iran. So okay. I had, and then, yeah, and they say to me, because I'm Christian, they use Islamic law, not constitution law in Iran. So, and I said, you can imagine how I was destroyed that in one moment.
Can't even imagine, Magda. Yeah. Cannot even imagine.
So I said, okay, I'm going. On the other hand, I was a very, like, you know, fighter. I said, okay, I'll go and, you know, go to the court and, you know, protest about this, because our constitution law is, you know, supporting me. And make it shorter, for 1 year, I was fighting for my right. And again and again and again, they approved and they confirmed the very first decision. So in the high court, I was in front of two judges, both mullah, and then they say to me, we'll give you one opportunity, one chance to have for you having your baby. And I had a lawyer, and a lawyer and I, we were wanted to hear what was the, you know, the opportunity. They said, if you just say to us you are not a Christian and it doesn't need you write, you know, on a paper, just say to the court you are not a Christian, we will give you back your daughter. And that was my moment. And I was one year, you know, whole my daughter's life, I was fighting for her. Mm-hmm. And that was my moment. And it was like the moment of, I could feel I'm dying. Mm-hmm. Because one hand, it was my Christian faith. And the other hand was my daughter, which I really loved her. Yeah. And how could I make a decision? Both of them, they were, you know, the half of my life, you know, half of my heart, not half of my heart. You know, they were like, you know, they were, you know, I was like, you know, how can I explain it? It was just, you know, my life was with them, you know. Sure. So I said, you know, I was looking at around of the, you know, the court to find someone to that person give me a word that helps me, you know, mm-hmm. to make my decision. And there was nobody. Even my lawyer was pushing me to say, yes, I can do that. And mm-hmm. I was in one moment, I could feel a very strong presence of God in the court. And it was, I couldn't see Jesus, but I could feel he is here. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the judge. One of them were, both of them, they were mullah. And I was looking of one of them, and I suddenly, I didn't see him, that mullah. I could see Jesus' eyes. Mm-hmm. He mm-hmm. was waiting for me, my mm-hmm. answer. And with the beautiful eyes and very, very kind eyes. And he said, no, I'm not going to tell you that things. I am a Christian, and I'm sure, and I believe my God, we will give my daughter back to me. Mm-hmm. And I was in the high court, and they just stamped that, you know, final decision. Mm-hmm. And they took my baby away and gave it to him. And mm-hmm. I was telling to God, see, I made a good decision, and you have to give me back my daughter, mm-hmm. my crown. You know, that is your promise. You have to give me my crown. But, you know, this has, you know, didn't have happen, because I, you know, for months and months and months and days and hours and seconds, mm-hmm. I was waiting for her coming, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember I become like the depressed.
Sure.
I've got depression.
That makes a lot of sense. Did you have a chance to see her again after that, or did your ex-husband just totally cut you off?
Totally, because the decision of the court, it was like this, that if I was wanted to see my daughter, every 2 weeks, I had to go to the police station, local police station, and for 3 hours I could see my daughter. And even they didn't let me to do this, so mm-hmm. I couldn't see her. Sometimes I was like, you know, secretly I was going to their house. You know, I was hiding somewhere like behind of trees, and you know, to see. Well, like you're waiting for hours, you know, in the cold weather, hot weather, to see my daughter.
This may be a really tough question, but I think a lot of people ask about unanswered prayers. You know, you felt like he told you to do this, and he did, and and then you ask for her back and he hasn't answered yet. So how do you reconcile with that? Like, how, I know lots of people have unanswered prayers.
Yeah, I appreciate that you ask this question. You know, I mean, Christianity or our faith is not against of reality or against of humanity, because we are made by the hand of God, and God knew my limitation. And I during all of these pains, I never regret about my decision, but I was so sad from mm-hmm. God. You know, I even, you know, I become hopeless as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, why you are not hearing my cry? Why you are not hearing my prayer? And I didn't want even, you know, I was depressed, you know, and I was like, you know, I didn't want even comes to out of the my room. And I was like, just holding her, you know, her dolls and her dresses, you know, and was, you know, and mm-hmm. that was my life, you know, to stay in her room. And, you know, look at their things, you know, mm-hmm. and so, but during that time, you ask how I reconcile with the situation and with God. You know, I was so upset, even I was angry from God, but I never regret. I can confess with confidence. Praise God. It was God's help. I never regret. I was new. I knew that that was the right decision. During that time, I was hearing like cry of people of Iran from the TV, radio, and these things. And I was like, I wasn't care about these things. So, but one day I was passing the, you know, through the living room, and I heard a big major earthquake happen in our country, Iran, in the center of the Iran, the city, mm-hmm. one city completely destroyed, the city of Bam. And I was careless. I was saying, okay, they lost their, you know, they beloved, and I lost my beloved. We are, you know, I'm crying, they are crying. Mm-hmm. At that moment, I remember Farshid Fathi, if you remember his name, he was about like very friend of me from when I was like very, very young. We are like very close to each other. So he called me and said, Magda, we are going to help these people by Ila Ministry. And I would like to invite you to come with me. And we have a lots of program for children and women. So I thought, Farshid, you are crazy. I'm in pain. And if I was a worthy person, if I was a good person, God would let me to look after my child. I'm not coming. And he insists and said, Magda comes. I know God has a plan for you. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I didn't want even to think about this. But I said, okay, I will go on and, you know, think, and I call you back. And at that moment, I said, I'll never call you. I'll never call you. And I went to my room, and then my mom is very godly. She's a very godly woman. And she said to me, she came to my room and said, Magda, I accidentally heard what you were talking to Farshid. And I want to encourage you to be like a Moses' mother, Jacobet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just put your baby in a basket and give it to the God. We put it in the river. And this river, hands of God, will save your baby and look after your baby. So you don't worry about that.
So did you end up calling him back and...
Exactly. When my mom said that, and I thought, I just something like a sparks, shined, you know, or sparks in my head, and said, okay, I'll go and call Farshid. Immediately I went and called Farshid. I come for 10 days. but not more than 10 days. Farshi said, okay, you just come, get up and come. So I just went there, and I went for 10 days, and I stayed for 1 year till the end of the project. And that was my, I at that city and that miserable situation, God healed my broken heart. You know, I could meet a lots of children who they lost all of their generation. And God was telling me, Magda, these, you see these children and you can be their mother, their family. You can be their family. And I was thinking, God, yeah, God, how God knew me. I was full of motherly love. Yeah. And I want to hug the children, you know, feed them, hug them, take them shower. For showering or these kind of things. Sure. And God knew all of these things and gave me opportunity to do these things for, these children. Mm-hmm. And also I could see a lots of women like myself, their child, they lost their child, their family, everything. They lost everything. And I could have chance. And it was my honor that God used me as a, you know, as a useless and with lots of brokens and, you know, lots of cracks and, you know, with nothing in my hands. He was using me. And it was like, I realized how God is shaping me. And again, I could start to worship him. I could start to pray at that situation. And it wasn't just like prayer. You know, it wasn't like God, give me chance to see my daughter. It was, you know, it was Thanksgiving on my mouth and my lips. You know, Thanksgiving again started on my lips. And, you know, it was, you know, God healed in that situation my broken heart. Yeah.
That's really beautiful. What are you up to these days, Magda?
My heart is with women under risk, you know. And now I'm sure you heard about women in Iran, how much they are under risk. They don't have any freedom. They always been under pressure, under the control of Islam. So I have passion for them to talk about my faith and talk about Jesus. And, you know, when they experience that, when they experience of this freedom, you know, that they have in Jesus, when they experience and can feel their identity in Christ, this is my pleasure. This is my, my heart for these days.
Well, one of the things we try to do through our podcast is encourage the global church with stories of how God's at work. And I know your story, it's a personal, really, really tough story. And it's tougher, obviously it's been tough for you. It's tough for people to hear. And I just wonder how God has worked through that. Do you have a couple stories of women that you've encouraged through your story and that you've been able to make a difference in their life through your story?
Sometimes when I have opportunity to see ladies or young girls that they comes from Iran in conferences or when I have opportunity to talk about my experience of my pain, and they feel they are not alone. I'm not talking about, very like just Hollywood's, Bible or Hollywood's, right. Jesus. And, they feel, okay, Jesus has something for them. And they listen and they open up and they start to talk about their own experience and their own pains. And ask me to pray for them. And And they were, you know, I could hear from them that they said, your story encouraged us to be more strong in our faith and don't discourage and, you know, stay faith for our Christian faith. I could hear that. You know, I remember when I share my story, most of, you know, that the place that I shared my story, they said this kind of words or this kind of expression.
Thank you so much for being willing to share with us, Magda. I really, really appreciate hearing from you. And I know our listeners will too. And yeah, just really encouraged by your story. So anything else you want to add, Jennifer? Or?
We just would like to know what our listeners could pray for you about. Anything in particular?
Yeah, I pray. I just would like to ask you to pray for women in Iran in these days. You know, they are very much in persecution. They don't have, you know, because of the, you know, so many things. You know, when I see them, when I just, my heart is broken for them. Please pray that I can be a messenger for them to share the good news among them, and they can realize how much they are precious and for God. Please pray that God give me opportunity to share the message of gospel for women of Iran. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you again, Magda. And I really appreciate your time. It's really good to see you and to get to chat.
Good to be with you.
Yeah. Thank you so, so much. Thank you. It was my honor. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us for our conversation with Magda today. Our hearts are broken for Magda, and I'm sure you're probably feeling a range of emotions after hearing her story. I know that Jennifer and I are still processing it, and you probably are too. But we're deeply grateful to Magda for trusting us with her story. Magda wanted you to know that she is in touch with her daughter, Caddy, who is in medical school studying to be a doctor, with the hope of ultimately serving the disadvantaged with her medical skills. I hope that Magda's story encouraged you to ask God where He might be calling you to be faithful in your own story today. We hope you'll join us next time as Chrissy and Hannah have a conversation with our historian friend Tom to discuss the incredible history of the Iranian church, as well as delving into why so many Iranians are open to the gospel. We look forward to being with you again next time on Jesus Speaks Farsi. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. And if you haven't already, would you take a moment to subscribe to our podcast or leave us a rating or review? We'd love for more people to learn what Jesus is doing amongst Farsi speakers today. Jesus Speaks Farsi is produced by Elam Ministries, a nonprofit ministry whose mission is to strengthen and expand the church in the Iran region and beyond. For more information, resources, and ways to partner, visit elam.com.